Hey, what's up, people? This is episode 4 of Duke of the Right. I said that wrong last episode. I said Duke on the Right. You could tell I'm a rookie. Duke of the Right. D-O-T-R. Episode 4. I got some really crazy shit to talk about today. I don't even know where to start, honestly. What I just saw on the internet really just showed me how I'm going to use my one F word today, how fucked society is. The lack of morals and values, it's getting to a point where we're going to be directionless people. I feel like, I mean, we're on that path as humans. We're on a path of destruction. We have no structure anymore. Everything is just no boundaries. What, like, you just go all out. If you're going to be a fraud, you're going to be the biggest fraud out there. I mean, and it fooled me too. I'm not going to spoil it just this minute, but I don't know if you guys are going to catch on because this is brand new to me, but I'm blown away. So I guess I'm just going to dive in now. Yesterday I went over that disastrous Democratic debate in Las Vegas. It was sad. It was so sad and funny to me, and just in a way really secured Trump's victory in the election in November. It proved to me, and I think millions of other Americans, that no, not one of those candidates have a prayer against President Trump. Every single one of them, Trump would absolutely destroy on the debate stage. And that's what I'm excited for the most. I can't wait until the debates start happening between Trump and whoever the Democratic nominee is. That's going to be the biggest thing ever. It's going to be amazing because you know that Trump is ready for every single one of them. He has dirt on every single one of them. And he has some good juicy stuff too, because that's the type of guy he is. He's quick on his feet. He's that kid that you were friends with in school that could abuse anybody real quick without even thinking about it and hit the joke perfectly. Like, that's him. That's Trump. We all know that type. I know a few kids like that. Just absolutely ruin you. And Trump is ready for every... I mean, he has nicknames. But one of the funniest ones is Alfred E. Newman. Wait, so... In his rally yesterday... Oh, man, I can't remember exactly what he said. But he said, the president of the United States, Alfred E. Newman. And, like, just the way he said it. And then just thinking about how much butt plug really looks like Alfred E. Newman is just, like, it's beauty. It's absolute beauty. He is the king troll. Like, he could abuse anybody and bring these politicians right back to his level. Right back to where they came from. That's why Trump is so good. It's because these politicians were never, ever put in their place. If you think about it, they never were. Republicans or Democrats had no balls until Trump came around. They all tiptoed around each other. There was this certain type of, you know, no-go zone that these politicians had. You know, you don't do this, you don't do that. Trump, listen to me. Trump broke all that decorum. He destroyed that. He got rid of that because, you know what? It's It's bullshit. It's absolute bullshit. The reason why it's bullshit is because America was founded on a principle where the government officials work for the people. It's not the other way around. They're not royalty. The politicians, they're not untouchable. They're not royalty. Our country is so different than any other country in the world because we're allowed to criticize our government. That's part of America. It's supposed to happen. That's why I don't really get so bent out of shape when someone actually criticizes one of Trump's policies, but like with a good argument. Like, okay, that's good. That's okay. That's the way the system, that means the system's working. You know, like if whether it's a Republican or a Democrat that actually disagrees with something that Trump does and backs up the real reason why and a factual reason why, that's beautiful. That is beautiful. I love seeing that. As much as I love Trump, and I think the overwhelming majority of things that he does is on point, nobody is perfect. Everybody has a flaw. Everybody, you know, nobody's immune to criticism, and nobody's immune to messing up. Even Donald Trump. But my problem is when they bash him and they criticize things that the only reason why they criticize is because they just hate him because he is Donald Trump. And when they criticize things about him that are lies, that's what pisses me off. That is not what America is. That's slander. That's just, you know, being petty and ruining our country. You know? So he has a nickname for everybody. Mini Mike, which is hysterical. Crazy Bernie, because he is crazy. Sleepy Joe. He's so New York, bro. Donald Trump is old school New Yorker. Like, he reminds me of my dad because my dad always has, you know, nicknames for somebody. You know, like, it's just the way that you are. Like, that's why, like, he's real. He's a real guy. Even though he's a billionaire, he's a real guy. He's a knock-around guy. You can't tell me you can't see yourself having a beer with him and cracking up. I mean, come on, you know? What else? One thing, I haven't heard him say anything, call Klobuchar any names, a nickname. Oh, Pocahontas, that's a good one. Expose the shit out of her. You know, and if the media wasn't so biased, she would be out of the race in a heartbeat. Or if she was a Republican and she did that, not only would Warren be out of the race, she would be ruined for the rest of her life. For lying about being a certain race to get somewhere artificially. Like, I think that everybody should really just look at the fact that she is not only get away with it, but she's still a major contender for president after what she did. How is that okay? That's the clearest sign of a double standard between the Republicans and Democrats, and how people can't see that. And I'm sorry, I have a conspiracy kind of thought on this. They know that it's wrong. They know that if it was a Republican, she would be destroyed, but because they could get away with that, because the media is, you know, leftist, you know, propagandist, they could do whatever they want. Control the media, control the people. If the liberals control the media, the liberals control the people. Because the people only know what the media tells you. If the media says that an asteroid is coming right for New York City and you got about a day to live, and all the news channels say that, people are going to be killing each other. They're going to be running. They're going to be scared shit. People are going to be killing, you know, even if there is no evidence to back it up. That was not the greatest analogy, but you get my point. Like I said, control the media, control the people, and the liberals and the leftists and the progressives control the media. They control what goes out. That's why Fox News is great. I think that, I mean, Fox News annoys me a lot. Don't get me wrong. I mean, they're owned by Rupert Murdoch, you know, a liberal. There are some things that they do that I don't agree with, but one of the things that I honor about them that, you know, that I think is very commendable is that they don't have a certain narrative that they tell all of their hosts, all of their people to follow. You got Tucker Carlson. He's his own guy. I mean, he's his own person. He has his own opinions, you know, that are very different than a lot of them. I mean, yeah, he's more of a conservative, but he has a different way of looking at a lot of things compared to a guy like what Shepard Smith was, who I couldn't stand. But I think that's great that Shepard Smith was on there. You know, he had his opinion. He didn't have to follow a certain set of, like, a ton of rules and a certain narrative that they had to abide by. Judge Jeanine, one of my favorite people on Fox, wasn't she suspended last year for a few days or something like that because she told the truth? You know, like, there's a whole range of different types of people with different opinions on Fox, while MSNBC and CNN, they all have the same collective thought. They all despise Trump, and they will all lie and deceit and manipulate the news in order to push their agenda. And I think that CNN is the worst because they label themselves as a middle-of-the-road, neutral, non-biased news organization, which could not be further from the truth. It literally could not be further from the truth. At least MSNBC is open with saying, listen, we're a liberal organization, and that's the way we're going to report our news. I got to respect that. I think they're all a bunch of jerk-offs and liars, and they know nothing, and they hate America, but at least they tell the American people who they are so we know that it's going to be a biased report. CNN is not like that. That's why they are worse. Like I said, they go under the guise of saying that, no, this is neutral news. This is an opinion, except for the opinion show. But, like, that's a big problem because people, I mean, that shit is on in airports, in train stations, in all public areas, hospitals, because it's supposed to be a neutral news outlet. But it's not. So when people watch that, they automatically think, no, this is the real news. There's no bias in here because CNN says they're not biased. Lie. Bullshit. Don Lemon? Don Lemon is probably one of the worst human beings in this country right now on TV. He's a race hustler. He also is a sex offender. If you remember what happened with that other gay guy in the Hamptons, he's having problems with that behind closed doors. You better believe it. People are pressing charges against him. Fredo Cuomo, what a joke. His brother, first of all, he comes from a family of imbeciles. His brother is one of the shittiest governors of New York that the state has ever seen. I don't know much about his father. I know he was just another liberal too. But back then, liberals weren't the way that liberals are now. You know, he was just a corrupt politician. That's what the Cuomos are. You know, I hate the fact that he's Italian. Because, you know, that means we share the blood. Like, no, get out of here. You know. So who else you have on there? That's so pathetic. Who else? Who else on CNN? All the girls. Oh, God. I don't remember her name. I don't really care about their names. They all piss me off so bad. You know, they're so pathetic. You know. MSNBC is funny because you got, I think Lawrence O'Donnell is on there, who is such a nasty, arrogant, angry man. I know everybody's seen that clip of him screaming at his producers, throwing a little temper tantrum. And then he got caught lying and had to apologize to the whole world for lying about a story about Trump. The thing that I love about this period of time is, as messed up as it really is, it's all getting exposed. These things would have never happened back then, but they're all happening now because there are people like Trump that are shedding light on these people that have gotten away with lying to the American people for decades and pushing their agenda. That's why these times are the best times. And you got to deal with the good and the bad. The good and the bad. You have to. You know? What is it called? The calm before the storm. I don't think that's a great analogy for right now either, as usual. But my point is, these times are defining. And it's only the beginning. It's only the beginning. God willing, Trump gets elected for another 4 years. Once that happens, I'm telling you right now, it's going to get crazy in this country. And I'm already seeing the left, you know, Antifa and all those crazy people, you know, trying to cause real extensive damage to this country, to the cities. You know, physical damage, all that stuff. I could see it happening. But I could also see real conservative patriots countering that. Because we had enough of Antifa terrorizing the country. It's going to be fun. It's going to be really fun. I can't wait. Oh, boy. All right. We're going to go on a quick break. I'll be back shortly. So coming up, that thing that I was talking about at the beginning of the show, I'm going to tell you all about that. And then we're going to go into some really interesting stuff that you guys are really going to, it's going to be picking at your brain. Believe me, because I've been thinking about this a lot and I've been waiting to put this on some kind of podcast that I finally could on D-O-T-R.
Alright. I'm back. Okay. So, I was on Instagram about 45 minutes ago. Okay, you know what? I'm sorry. I'm gonna rewind it back to last night. Last night, I was on Facebook. I don't spend that much time on social media. Not anymore. Especially since I got banned, or I got a 30-day jail bid from Facebook, so I have to use my personal boring account. So I was on my personal Facebook account, and I saw someone repost something about a dwarf, a 9-year-old kid who suffered from dwarfism. This video went viral of this poor little kid that got bullied in school so bad. He was hysterical crying, and his mom was recording him saying that he's going to kill himself. You know, it was really sad. Like, I mean, it made me sick to my stomach. You know, like, it's almost like you really saw the pain in this poor little kid's eyes. Okay? And he was, like, grabbing his neck, and he was, like, having a mental breakdown. Like, it really made me sad. You know? And I was like, my God, how are kids gonna make fun of a little dwarf? I mean, listen, I'm a realist. I know that kids, especially 9 years old, they don't know better. You know, I mean, of course, kids are going to make fun of they're going to laugh at someone who's a midget or a dwarf. You know, like, that's just the way kids are. Kids could be cruel. You know, but in the same breath, as a parent, you should always instill into your child's head, not only don't bully people, but especially don't bully someone who's handicapped or has disabilities, or, you know, someone who, like, has a growth defect, a birth defect. You know, those are things that you should always drill into your kid's head when they're little babies. You know, I'm never one to tell anybody how to raise their kid, because I think that the government does that, and I think that's disgusting, and they should mind their effing business and let the parents raise them. But what I'm saying is, the way I would raise my kid, hopefully I have one soon, is to never, definitely don't bully. Don't be a bully. Don't ever be a bully. And especially don't make fun of special kids. And I'm talking about all types. Doesn't matter. Kids that, you know, that suffer from dwarfism, midgets, growth defects, cerebral palsy. It doesn't matter. Especially those kids. Those are the kids that you're supposed to protect, because they can't defend themselves the way that kids without those issues can. And I think that goes without saying. But this also contributes to the society where, you know, parents don't raise their kids the right way, if you ask me. Because parents are too obsessed with themselves and taking pictures and doing gender reveals and trying to look 30 years younger and, you know, using their kids as dress-up dolls, dressing them up like these little freaking, you know, Arabs with, you know, like these millionaire oil tycoons, you know, the way that they dress up with all the Gucci and everything. And, like, they're more concentrated on that instead of focusing on how to raise your kid to not be like you, or to be an upstanding American or human, you know, that provides value to the world, to your country, to your neighbors, to your family. That's, like, not happening anymore. I'm not saying at all, but from what I see, the parents are doing the wrong thing, in my opinion. So when I was watching this video, I kept saying, "What? Oh, I want to see this kid. Whoever the one that is, whoever the kids are that are bullying this poor little kid, I want to see the kids that are doing it. I want to see what they look like, and I want to see their parents. I want to see what a real piece of shit looks like, right? I don't even want to say the kid, because a 9-year-old, they don't know nothing, okay? I mean, yes, they know not to bully, but like I said earlier, kids are kids. It's the parents that are the problem. This is what happens when the government raises your kids. And I'll talk about that later. That's a big thing. But anyway, and it was like this 6-minute video, and I was really upset. I was genuinely upset for this kid. You know, you saw the pain in his eyes. He was doing these weird things with his hands, grabbing himself, pointing at the camera. "I'm going to effing kill myself. I'm going to effing kill you," whoever the kid's name was. And the mother was the one that was narrating the whole thing, who was videotaping him, saying, you know, "This, the education system failed us. I feel like I failed as a parent. Look at my boy," all this stuff, you know, kind of being a little annoying, right? Just before you tell me I'm a piece of garbage, just listen to me. All right. She kept going on and going on. And I'm not saying, like, I mean, if I was a parent, I could only imagine how I'd feel if my son or daughter came home acting like that because they were getting bullied in school. I would lose my mind, but I'll tell you what I would not do, and this is just me. the thing that would never come to my head was taking my phone out and videotaping my son or my daughter having a mental nervous breakdown and posting it on social media, sticking a camera in their face while they're hysterical crying about being bullied. You're going to videotape them for at least 6 minutes. That would never come to my head to do that. My first instinct would be I drop everything and I sit with my kid and I talk to him or her and I do everything I can to make them feel better. And then I take up with whatever I got to do in the school or whatever to fix this problem. I thought that was very weird. And once I was hearing her voice, I felt something funny, okay? I felt something funny. I'm not saying that, you know, I thought it was bullshit, but something was a little off to me. The amount that she was talking, how she was sticking the camera in this little kid's face who was crying profusely, okay? And another thing that came to my head, and don't crucify me for this, because, you know, I'm a skeptic. I've always been a skeptic. And at 9 years old, the things that he was saying about killing himself and doing all these things with his hands, it seemed a little advanced to me. You know, I feel like 9 year olds wouldn't be talking like that. I could be wrong, but that's what kind of made my ears go up a little bit. It was, you know, but I still was like, wow, this is like really sickening. I even made a comment on YouTube saying that, you know, how terrible it is, you know, I had to do my little thing. So, and that was the first I saw about this kid. His face is very recognizable. You know, he's a dwarf. You know, he has like this discolored skin. Really sad, really sad. So, anyway, I saw a little bit today on social media. You know, it kind of went viral without a doubt. Whoever made a GoFundMe account for this kid raised over $300,000 for this kid to go to Disney World. I think it was a little under $350,000 on GoFundMe for this kid to go to Disney. Now, I'm getting some of this information from Anomaly, that amazing YouTuber. His name is Anomaly. I love him. He's, you know, he was originally a Bernie Sanders supporter, and he, you know, he woke up, and now he's a very outspoken Trump supporter, but he's a realist. He's still like a hippie type person, but like a good hippie, you know, peace, love, but the media is full of lies. The government's full of lies. Liberals and leftists are terrible. You know, I'm getting off track here. This was like an hour ago when I watched this video. So as soon as I see it, I see the picture of that little boy. I'm like, uh-oh, what's going on here? The caption was real or fake, and then the picture of the boy. And as soon as I saw that, now a lot of people would be like, oh my God, what an asshole. How could he even think that? But the reason why that didn't come to my head was because I knew what I was thinking once I heard that mom talk. And when I saw the boy's unnatural, you know, very advanced for his age, the way he was talking and moving. Almost doctored a little bit, you know. So once I saw that, I was like, oh, no. And what he proceeds to tell the camera, Anomaly, is that this kid is all over social media. And I'm not talking about the bully thing. I'm talking about him wearing all these designer things, holding up thousands of dollars all over the place, in tons of pictures all over the internet, almost like a famous little kid. Right? And Anomaly said, the family is no stranger to the camera, no stranger to publicity. Like, over the top, like, dressing this kid up in all this Gucci and Louis and this and that, holding up stacks of money on Instagram, all this stuff. He's like a little famous kid. And then all of a sudden, this comes out. And all of a sudden, you start really questioning things. Like, oh, wait a minute. The mom, judging from those other pictures that Anomaly was talking about, she kind of seems like an attention whore to me, and using her son, exploiting her son to get fame. And now this. So now it's all coming together, and unfortunately now I really doubt the video. Now I really doubt it. I hope to God that that kid is not getting bullied. And if he is, that's disgusting and terrible, and it needs to stop. And like Anomaly said on this video, I'm not encouraging anybody to bully this kid. Don't you dare bully him. Leave him alone. He's a little kid. He has nothing to do with it. If anything, if it comes out that that video was false, you don't come after him. It's not his fault. And he's not even saying to go after anybody, but it's the mom. And of course, they hate Trump, right? This family hates Trump. The husband and the wife are wearing F Trump shirts, you know. So, because this is a podcast and I don't have a video of me doing this, I can't show you the videos and the pictures of this little kid that I was talking about with the, you know, the pictures of him holding up the money and wearing all the designer stuff and, you know, with thousands of likes, by the way. He's a social media mini star. No pun intended, I'm sorry. So what I'm saying really probably doesn't do much justice, but for a reference for you to see for yourself, because I'll always encourage you to do that. Whatever I say on here, don't just take my word for it. Because at the end of the day, I'm a schmuck. And I'm a bullshit artist in a lot of ways. Not on here. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. Whatever I tell you is facts on here. But don't ever take my word for it. You should never take anybody's word for it. Always do your research. See for yourself. That's the way I always lived my life. Go on Anomalies. A-N-0-M-O-L-Y on Instagram. And I think that's his most recent video. Click that and watch it. And you tell me what you think. You tell me if what you're seeing matches up to what I'm saying. And also watch the video of the kid crying. So this is what I was talking about in the very beginning of this episode, about how society is so effed. It's so done. The fact that people will exploit their children for internet fame is really the downfall of our society. It's so vain. It's so disingenuous. And like, I mean, how would you be able to go to bed at night knowing that you just lied to millions and millions of people? You're playing with people's heartstrings. What about people that actually have to deal with their kids who suffer from getting bullied in school relentlessly? That's saying if that video was actually fake. I'm not fully saying that that's fake at all, but that's just how I feel after what I saw, because I have an opinion and I have every right to have any opinion. And I'm not calling for anybody to bully them or to abuse them or to do anything to them. I refuse. to call for any of that ever. I'm giving you my perspective because, number one, this is my podcast. And, you know, I do what I want. And if I have an opinion, that's it. So don't do anything to hurt this family or kids. Just don't. I'm giving you my perspective and my opinion on this. And my opinion is something is very, very fishy. And after I go on my next break in a little bit, I'm going to research some more. I'm going to have some prepared because, you see, here's the deal with the podcast thing that I didn't realize. It's just like sports. There's a difference between TV announcing and radio announcing. When you're TV announcing, it's much easier in the sense where you don't have to go too much into detail to make people understand because it's visual. They see that Aaron Judge hit the ball to third and the third baseman fumbled the ball and Judge was safe. You know, you don't have to go into extreme detail. You still do, but not extreme. But when you're announcing on, like when John Sterling is on, you know, what is he on now? 66? I think actually the Rangers, I'm sorry, the New York Rangers, it's a better example. The way that the announcers on the radio announce the game compared to TV is totally different. You on the radio, you got to explain every little thought that they make so that the listeners could picture it in their head because there is nothing to compare it to but the radio guy. On TV, it's different. You see things. So what I'm saying is, with the podcast that, you know, you guys don't see anything. All you do is hear me. So I got to better explain things. I got to, you know, paint a picture better for you guys. You know, instead of just explaining it the way I have been. Because if I had a podcast and also had a video recording it of me doing it, I could show you a video of it happening and then talk about it in the background, and it's much easier to understand than to grasp it. But with this, it's different. So I got to work on that. There's no doubt about it. I got to work on a lot of things with this. Okay, but on my next break, I'm going to watch some videos. I'm going to do some more research on it because, listen, I just found out about this about 10 or 15 minutes before I started the podcast. And I wanted to start it at a certain time. Otherwise, I would have spent more time looking at it. So I'm going to do some more research on it. Hopefully, whoever's listening to this, if anybody is, go on Anomaly's page on Instagram and check it out for yourself. And also check out the video. So the point of me talking about that video about the little kid is the extent that people will go to get internet famous, to go viral. Like, what are you rewarded? What is the reward for that? Why do so many people want to be famous these days? I think that's a relatively new thing. I mean, listen, everybody forever always, you know, always wanted to be famous. But it was never something that consumed people as a whole. I feel like everybody's goal is to go viral at least once in their life. And listen, I mean, that's kind of what I'm trying to do now. I can't lie. Of course I want to go viral. But I'm trying at least to provide some kind of good or service to the people to open their eyes, to see things through a new perspective. Instead of lying my way to the top. Or making up stories, or like the housewives, just acting like morons, acting completely because everything's fake, you know, and people love them. Like, that's not what I want to go viral. I want to go viral because I want to spread the word. I want to expose people to different ways of thinking and hopefully provide some value. I mean, that's my goal at the end of the day. Of course, I want to make a living. I would love if I could make a living off of, you know, a podcast or, you know, creating my own media. I mean, you know, I'll always have these goals, you know, whether they seem out of reach or not. But they always revolve around me improving some kind of, like, improving life in one way or the other, you know? But I'm not lying. I'm not making up stories, or, you know, to get famous. These people are. That woman, if that whole video was fake and she coached her kid, that's terrible. That is terrible to do to your kid. Because how do you think that child is going to grow up? You think that he's going to grow up to be a genuine person? I mean, you know, children mimic their parents. I've adopted some of my dad's shitty traits, you know, because he's my dad. And as a kid, I always thought everything he did was right. Naturally. So how do you think this kid's going to grow up? He's going to grow up to do the same shit. You know, to be an actor, to be a fraud. I encourage you guys to look at whatever I told you to look at, okay? I think they were from, I don't know if it was from New Zealand or Australia, some place all the way out there, down south. Well, not down south, but not, I can't even do an Aussie accent right now. Good night, mate! Let's put another shrimp on the barbie. Austria. Dumb and dumber. Oh, Austria. Good day, mate. Let's put another shrimp on the barbie. Jim Carrey. Asshole. So mad. I'm so mad that he's a piece of shit. Because I used to love him. I loved all of his movies. Dumb and Dumber was one of my favorites. Ace Ventura. Liar, Liar. I watched Liar, Liar probably a million times. The Grinch. But now I find out that he's an actual asshole. Like, he's an actual asshole. Like, the hole where shit comes out. That's Jim Carrey. You know? I am always all over the place. I feel bad for my listeners, to be honest. If I have any. And I would say that because I have 6 views right now. Which is pretty... I mean, I'm happy with it for right now. The fact that I have any views is, you know, makes me happy. I just got to get over the thing of, you know, sharing it on Facebook and, you know, seeing my friends and family, you know, listen to it. I get embarrassed sometimes, you know. But I start to get over. I posted it on Facebook a few hours ago, and I already got a share from my boy John Xavier. I worked with him. I don't know if he's ever going to listen to it, but shout out to my boy. We had some good times working with Joey D. HR Painting on Staten Island. Oh, God. He was the one that shared it, so I think that's pretty cool. You see, you need more loyal friends like him, and I don't even know him for that long, and me and him just clicked. He's a funny kid. We had some good times. He had my back. I had his, you know. And he sees me post my first podcast and he shares it. And he, like, you know, like, that's beautiful to me. I love that, you know. And my other friend, Anthony, he did that too. And he hates Trump. But, you know, like, you get nervous. You get intimidated. You get embarrassed. But then, you know, when you post it. And then, like, your true friends come out of the woodwork. And you see, like, you know what, like, they just shared it. Like, you know, they actually care. You know, I think that's beautiful because my mindset is always people don't care about you, you know. Which, that's the way I've always thought. Like, don't expect people to care about you, especially more than themselves. You know, you care about you and that's it. And I always had that mindset, you know. So I never even gave people a chance. But then, you know, as I get older, you start seeing who your true buddies are, your true friends. And I, you know, I don't have many, and I'm perfectly fine with it. Oh boy. All right. So I'm about to approach my second break. Like I said, I'm going to do some more research on that poor kid and that mother. And I'll give you some updates on that. And we got a few more topics to talk about. I want to mention the Young Turks a little bit later on. You know, Chunk Yogurt and his nephew, who I truly can't stand. He's the most arrogant person. He's such a bum. And he has nothing good to say. Nothing smart or educated comes out of his little mouth. I'm going to talk about them a little bit. Talk about liberal cities and states and why people keep fleeing them. Like, that's rocket science. I got a Market Watch article that I read that I really want to talk to you guys about. And I want to just shed some light on this. And here's the hit. It's Millennials and Communism. You can use your imagination with that. So that I'm going to talk about. Some talks about meritocracy versus affirmative action and how meritocracy is dying in America. And it's a very bad thing. And then I want to talk about what I said yesterday, the denormalizing of society and the new world order. These are very crucial things. The New World Order. I know a lot of people heard of the book that was made in 1990 by Ralph Epperson. It's scary how accurate the events became. It's disturbing. It's almost like this guy had a time machine. Okay? So you're going to want to stick around for this. I'm telling you, I have a lot of good information here. And that's going to be it. So I'm going to go on my break. I'll do what I got to do. And I'll be back on in a little bit. And we'll get back into it. We got a nice little show for tonight. All right. See you in a little bit. All right, guys. I'm back. I ended up not finishing this on that yesterday. This is the next day that I'm recording, but you guys probably wouldn't be able to tell because, you know, whatever. But it was late last night when I recorded and I decided to go to bed. Real professional, right? So there was really not much research on the kid that was getting bullied. There was not much information, you know, other than the posts on Instagram of him with his mom posing as, you know, wearing all this designer stuff. And, you know, it just seemed very fraudulent to me. You know, the whole thing was just kind of sketchy. And at the end of the day, I mean, I hope the kid doesn't get bullied. You know, because that would be terrible. But I really, at the same time, hope that the mother wasn't exploiting this kid. You know, like, it's just, how do you have the heart to do that? I mean, what, like I said earlier, what the hell is this kid going to grow up like? You know, he's going to think this is normal, obviously. He's going to think it's normal because his mom's doing it, and it's his mom. You know, when you're young, you think your mom and dad are superheroes. You don't think they could do wrong. I remember when I was a kid, I thought my parents were perfect. In the sense of everything they did was right. And, you know, and that they know best. But, you know, as I got older, I realized that nobody is perfect. And there were things that they did that weren't right. And that's not a shot at my parents. My parents were great. They still are great. You know, I couldn't ask for better parents, but they made mistakes. There were not things that they did that were right. But the point is, when you're younger, you don't think like that. I mean, I'm 25 and I really just started realizing this, you know, a few years back. So this kid is going to grow up thinking that, you know, it's okay to exploit people for fame, for artificial fame. That's what it is. That's saying if this was all bullshit, if this wasn't genuine. I don't know. You guys should check it out yourself. Because I think that, you know, from what I see from my judgment, it smells like bullshit to me. I could be wrong. I'm saying that right out the bat. I could be wrong. It's weird because I hope the kid is not actually getting bullied and doesn't actually feel that way. Because that would be terrible. I mean, you know, it's never a nice thing to hear about a kid getting bullied and a young kid suddenly wants to kill himself. And, God, I can't even think of that. But some other things that I saw last night and this morning, which I thought were really just appalling. Ilhan Omar, you know, that Somali pirate that is, I'm going to take, this is my ship now. This is my state now. That kind of sounded like Arnold Schwarzenegger. But, so, I guess you guys probably remember last year that Ilhan Omar was accused of marrying her biological brother. So they don't get, you know, so they don't get sent back to their shithole country, right? Somalia, which is a war-torn, it's a shithole. I'm sorry, but it's a shithole. There's nothing good about it. It's a shame because it was probably a beautiful country years ago until radical Islam took over. Radical Islam took over. And they're a majority now, I hate to say it. And that's coming from actual, normal, peaceful Muslims saying that. That was the rumor. She denied it. She didn't even deny it, like, formally. She didn't say, I didn't marry my brother. She didn't say that. Instead, what she did, and I'm trying to stall here because I'm trying to turn to the page while I'm driving. What she did was... Okay, here we go. What she did, she said in a tweet after... This was months ago, I believe. After, you know, it started getting word that she actually married her brother and all this stuff. Her response was, paying people to generate fake news stories in order to delegitimize me and those I represent isn't a good look. Desperation is a sad mobilizing tool. So no denial there. Nowhere in that tweet says, these claims are false. I did not marry my brother. This is appalling. Not once. Instead, she came up with this stupid tweet that actually what the liberals have been doing to Donald Trump for like the last 4 years. I mean, come on. How many millions of dollars were paid out to people to make fake news story? CNN, MSNBC, ABC, CBS. Like, come on. Give me a break. So she's pretty much, and I agree with her. It's desperation and a mobilizing tool, but it's not what's happening to her. It's what's happening to Republicans and Donald Trump every single day for the last 4 years. Also because, you know, those major news sources, their ratings are done. They're done. If it wasn't for these fake news stories, they would be, you know, Don Lemon would be, he'd be sweeping bathrooms at a McDonald's. So, besides the fact that she has never actually denied it, she never said that it was false, that she never married her brother. Now, there was a member, and by the way, I got this from the Hodge twins on Instagram, my two favorite twins. That's kind of redundant, right? My two favorite twins. My favorite twins. They said in a report, a member of the Minneapolis Somali community. Minneapolis is where she is a representative, whatever you call congresswoman. A member of the Minneapolis Somali community. The name is Abda Hakim Osman. I think I pronounced that right. I can't with these names. I can't with them. What happened to Joe? Frank. Come on. How about when you come to America, you change your name to something that everybody could pronounce, instead of all America has to try to understand your name, and if we don't pronounce it right, you call us racist. I want to say the F word so bad. So, this guy, Abda Hakim Osman, was on record telling the Daily Mail that in 2009, Ilhan Omar married her brother, here we go again, Ahmed Saeed Almi. That, I think, is Ilhan's brother, biological brother. Ahmed, I like the way I say it. Ahmed Saeed Almi. So, now that's coming from someone who is a member of the Minneapolis Somali community, a quote-unquote ally, or was at least. Why would this guy, Osman, say that? Why would he say that if it wasn't true? And she did it because, you know, so they didn't have to go back to Somalia. They committed, that is immigration fraud. 100% immigration fraud. If she actually did it, which I really believe she did, that is immigration fraud, period. But nobody bats an eye. You never hear it in the news on the mainstream media. They don't say a word about it because there goes the narrative and, you know, they would be accused of being racist. It's racist to call out facts. It's racist to call out people of color when they do something wrong. That's how you know that this society is falling apart. So her real husband, or I don't know, I think they got divorced. Here we go once again. Another Ahmed. Ahmed Kirshi. That's easier. So I think that's just, you know, funny. I gotta laugh. Because I laugh because it doesn't get any publicity at all. Nothing. Nothing. Except from Fox News and independent sources. But like, that would be huge if a Republican congressman or woman, or, you know, any of them did something like that, even if there was a report, the world would explode. The media would not shut up about it. It just goes to show how disingenuous they are and how biased. I mean, this is, you know, crazy times. I mean, when the media is so openly biased and not even ashamed, like they're not ashamed. They're not ashamed that they have a bias, that they spew fake news and they throw away certain, you know, articles and certain breaking news if that news ruins their agenda, because it's all about their agenda. That's all that really matters. Yeah. Sick world. I hate them. I hate that squad. And not because they're people of color. I don't give a shit what color they are. I look at the way that they act and the things that they say. Ilhan Omar is a disgrace to America. And yes, I believe she should go back to Somalia. If she thinks this country is so messed up and thinks it's so unjust, go back to Somalia. Why are you here? Nobody's holding you here. But the reason why she won't go back is because it's so damn good to live here. People are better off living here than their own original countries. They face more oppression in their home countries than America. Yet they think it's such a terrible place. You know, AOC, she's another beauty, another terrible person. Socialist. Ugh, God. Rashida Tlaib, arrogant. As arrogant as arrogant can be. like when she said, "Let's impeach the mother effer," right? I almost said, "Impeach the M fucker." Repeat, impeach the mother effer, right? Like, real professional. She's another one that hates America. And Ayanna Pressley, I don't know much about her. I know that she's just another racist, another white-hating black woman, you know, righteous black woman that hates white people so freaking much, hates this country so much. Funny, right? They hate the country, but they stay here, and they reap all the benefits. Isn't that funny? Isn't that curious? All right, enough about those losers, those freaking no good, degenerate users of America. Here's something that I saw this morning, which really just, I got so mad after watching this. So CNN, okay, I was on Facebook again, right? And some guy who, you know, he's a good friend of mine. He's a black guy. He's a good friend of mine. I love him. I'm not going to say his name. Love this guy. He's an older guy. You know, he was a customer at my deli where I used to manage. I loved him. He was such a great guy. You know, he's funny. We used to laugh. All of a sudden, he's been posting a lot of this black stuff. Not like being proud to be black. That's cool. But like this stuff saying that America is so racist and racism is still here and black people are oppressed by whites. And then I see him repost this video of a CNN video. The title was "New Jersey Raises the Threat Warning of White Supremacy." What? I live in Jersey now. I don't know any white supremacist. I don't see any white supremacist propaganda. Like, it's, and it was a whole, like, a long video of, like, public officials in Jersey actually saying that. What? I don't know, man. I don't know. What I'm going to do is, on my next break, I'm going to have to go over that more. I notice I say that a lot. Real prepared. Yeah. I don't really understand that at all. I think that's ridiculous. There are no white supremacists here. And if there are, there's such a small group of idiots. I mean, if you're a real white supremacist, you're a piece of shit. I mean, there's no question about it. You know, if you really love America, if you're a patriot, you love everybody here. Everybody who loves this country, you love. Not the people that hate it. And that goes for black, white, green, yellow, purple, and rainbow. Doesn't matter who you are. If you love America and you're a patriot, I love you. But if you don't, if you think this country is a horrible place, then I don't like you. I do not like you. And I think I speak for majority of Americans, patriots, you know. It's funny because, so they, you know, they raised the terror threat level to the highest possible level. It's all over the news, you know, for the last, I think, 2 days. What I looked at was on NBC4 New York. And what I want to know is, what about the black Hebrew Israelites? What about them? They actually carried out an attack against Jews, and they killed 2 people. What about that? I mean, like, in the article they said that, yeah, the threat level for the black Hebrew Israelites went up a little bit, but not much. And then the new Black Panther Party, you know, apparently they haven't held any kind of rally since 2011. But, like, I don't know. I mean, I live in Jersey. I live in a predominantly white county, Monmouth County. I can't tell you. I have never seen any kind of white supremacist KKK neo-Nazi shit ever over here. And it's all, I mean, with the exception of a few neighborhoods like Asbury Park, you know, and Neptune, it's Trump. It's all Trump here. This county went red. And it has been for the last few elections. Because you got a lot of people from Staten Island and Brooklyn. A lot of Italian, Irish, German people from, like I said, Staten Island and Brooklyn that are conservative. And they, you know, a lot of them moved down here. My family did. A lot of my family, you know. But there's no white supremacist shit here. It's crazy. It's such a lie and such propaganda. I bet the stupid Murphy, you know, had something to do with this. I would bet a lot of money on that, because he has an agenda, and that's clear as day. He has a clear agenda to really make Trump supporters out to be these horrible racist people, and they're really turning up the heat, these liberals, right? Because they know that their time is limited. I mean, big time. There's a big threat against them that they're not going to last. They're not going to last this election, I'll tell you right now. You know, they if you ask me, with what has been going on with them and the energy that Trump has, I mean, I don't know if you guys seen the rally that he held. The last rally, I think it was, there was one in Arizona and one that just passed in Las Vegas. It's like he's a 25-year-old kid. His energy, he starts abusing every single candidate, goes right down the line, picking out all their weaknesses, and he's so, like, on point, like what I said earlier or in the last episode. I don't remember. He's ready to go. He didn't lose any gas. He is. The guy is going to, whoever he happens to debate, is really going to get destroyed. They're going to be. If I was one of them and I got absolutely, utterly destroyed by them, I'd be like, you know what? We're going to give you the presidency. I'm done getting embarrassed and abused. I can't deal with this. You win. Because, like, save yourself the money, the embarrassment, the time. And I'm not trying to be cocky about him winning, because, you know, everybody was so confident about Hillary winning, and she happened to lose big time. But, I mean, the facts are the facts here. Besides the polls, Trump has the energy like he's a young kid. Crazy. There's no threat of white supremacy in New Jersey and in the United States. It's a hoax. It's a big hoax. As a white person who lives in a white county, a conservative red county, where you would maybe, these leftists would expect it to be, because of such a low number of black people and stuff. I mean, there's a decent amount, but the overwhelming majority of the county is white. I never seen anything like that, because I wouldn't want to see that. I hate that shit. Neo-Nazis, white supremacists. Like, first of all, I'm a Catholic. I'm a Roman Catholic. The KKK don't like me. And I'm not even white. I'm Italian. I'm Mediterranean. It's a little different. So, no, I don't like white supremacists. I don't like white nationalists. I don't like the KKK. Period. I am a nationalist. That just means that I love my country. And I put my country over every other country. Period. And I believe that if you live here, and if you enjoy the benefits of this country, you should be a nationalist too. I'm not talking about an extreme nationalist. Someone who puts their country above everybody else's country, above anything else. And I'm not talking about make it your religion. You just love your country and you defend it and you want it to prosper. And for some strange, crazy reason, these people have a problem with that, which I don't understand. If you know, and the majority, I hate to say it, but the majority of the people that hate this country that live here are on welfare. They're getting money from people like you and me that pay taxes and work hard and get money taken out every week, every paycheck. So they could, you know, not work and enjoy our money. And they're the ones that step on the flag. That's not cool. That's like messed up. So you're going to bash my country. You're going to say how racist, sexist, homophobic, xenophobic, transphobic it is. And in the same breath, you're going to take out your freaking your food stamp card and buy a bunch of junk food, right? And then go home and sit on your couch all day. Maybe smoke some pot. Get a 40. You know? How are you going to disrespect the country that does that for you? And unfortunately, overwhelming majority of black people. And they're the ones that think that this country is so racist. How is it racist? It would be racist if no food stamps were allowed for black people. That's racist. And I don't think anybody would support that. But what I do support is for people, if what I believe that should happen, number one, if you want to get food stamps and welfare, you got to take a drug test every single 3 weeks. Or a month, whatever. Every single month. Because if you really need food stamps, you can't afford to buy weed. You can't afford to buy alcohol. Am I wrong? Shouldn't your money be going to something else, like maybe saving? Right? Or applications, because some applications cost, what, $10, $5, $20 at most? Why are you buying pot? If you are going to be getting free money from the American taxpayer, there should be some parameters. Don't you believe that? Isn't that like common sense? Instead of just having carte blanche, do whatever you want with it. Come on. It's crazy. And the thing that annoys me the most is the people that have the balls to be on welfare. And then at the same time, hate this country and think that this is a racist country. That annoys me so much and think we're so bad. Try to get welfare in a different country. First of all, there's no country better for blacks to live than America. None. Definitely not Africa, because they still got slaves in Africa and the Middle East. So, I don't know, that seems like common sense to me. I'm sick and tired of talking about this. It's a hoax, people. White supremacy is not a threat to anybody. The only threats to minorities, the main threat to black people are other black people. Because, I mean, they commit the most crimes. And guess what? What about the victims? The victims are majority black, too. Don't you care about them? You focus all your energy, all your resources on watching out for white supremacy, but you ignore the black community, which has been suffering by black people, and the black people are suffering. That's why stop and frisk was good. Because in the 70s, listen to this, in the 70s, the crime in New York City was bad. It was bad. There were, what, I think it was over 2,000 murders a year. That's like Chicago style. There were over 2,000 murders a year. And instead of the people of the black community complaining about stop and frisk, they were complaining how there's not enough cops in the neighborhood. The cops aren't doing enough to stop this crime. Now think about that. Back then, I guess people, you know, didn't cry racism as much, even though it was what, a decade after the white after civil rights, they weren't obsessed over this race thing. Instead, they just wanted safety, and they knew that more police presence meant more safety. So, and this is true. The people of the black community, the mothers and the fathers in the 70s, were upset and complaining that there weren't enough police in this in these neighborhoods. That they wanted the police department and the city to increase the amount of police officers on the beat patrolling these neighborhoods to stop these crimes, because these parents, their kids are either getting involved in crime, in gangs, or becoming victims of crimes and gangs. So they wanted more cops. And guess what? Giuliani gave it to them. Not only did they give them more cops, but they gave them a tactic, not a policy, a tactic. Stop, question, and frisk. And the crime went down 75%. It went from 2,200 murders a year to 600 and then to 300 in a very short time, only a few years. All because of stop and frisk. It wasn't stop and frisk black people. It wasn't stop and frisk minorities. It was focus on the neighborhoods with the highest amount of crime. And keep your eyes out. If someone's acting suspicious, because as a cop, you're trained to kind of identify a situation in a very quick time that, you know, so they could assess the situation and deal with it from there. So that worked tremendously. Reduced the crime 75%, like I said. And then Bloomberg kept that policy because at the time, I guess he was smart, up until he left. And then de Blasio completely ruined the city. And now it's going back into the 70s and 80s and early 90s. Stop and frisk was a success. The people of those bad neighborhoods got what they wanted. And now de Blasio is taking it all away. And now, now there's graffiti on the trains. Like, there hasn't been graffiti on the trains like that in probably over 20 years. That's, I read somewhere that that is one of the main signs of a city in decline. When graffiti starts, for New York City at least, when you start seeing graffiti back on trains, that's how you know it's the start of a major, major decline in the city. And it makes so much sense. It makes a ton of sense because of their easy going approach on crime now. Like, that's the situation. It's this, they got rid of the tough on crime, the broken windows policy, which, I mean, I don't know who exactly came up with it, but I know Giuliani was the one that enforced it, and it ended up working out great. It's the little petty crimes do not go unnoticed. And, you know, I mean, in one way, like, it's annoying. It's like, you know, just leave us alone, this and that. But what I realized is when you're dealing with a city like New York with almost 9 million people, you got to have a little bit of a different approach to crime than the rest of the country. There's just too many people in too small of an area. There's too much poverty. You need to you need to be tough on crimes. You need to be tough on turnstile jumpers. You got to be, because first of all, I mean, I don't want to get onto this topic now because I'll end up being on it forever and it'll take over the rest of this show. But like how AOC and that mob of lazy lowlives, you know, Antifa and stuff a few weeks ago had this big riot protest about making the subways and the public transportation free, and also F the police. It was that movement. It was against the MTA and F the police. I mean, like, there is seriously no logic. There's no logic. They literally want public transportation to be free. Who's going to pay for it? Like, it's ridiculous things like that. These people wake up, What do I want to protest about today? What do I want to whine about today? And while they're thinking about it, they go to get on the train and they can't find their MTA card. And like, oh, I wish it was free. Oh, that's a great idea. I'm going to start rioting about how the MTA, the trains and the buses should be free. It's not fair. crazy, man. Although I gotta say, I mean, with all the money that the MTA gets and the trains are, you know, about what, 50 years behind, and the stations are disgusting. I mean, the money really should, with the amount of money that they make every freaking day, those trains should be in pristine condition. Everything should be state-of-the-art, brand new, and it's not. That annoys me. But that's not what these people are protesting about. They just don't want to work. They just don't want to pay for things because they're self-entitled. Guaranteed they're all Bernie fans. They probably all want free college, free healthcare, free housing, free food. They have no place in this country. This is a capitalist society where if you want something, you buy it. And if you like nice things, you work. And you work hard. And if you don't make enough money, you do what you can to get a better job, to get more money. That's the only way for a society to function properly and for humans to really live out the most freedom they can. That's what's beautiful about America, and that's what's shitty about every other country that don't have it. I get so worked up about this, man. It's crazy. It's crazy. I think I'm going to end this after these two things. Okay. Glenn Beck, he's not my favorite, Glenn Beck. He's good, but he's not my favorite. I have some issues with him. But overall, he's all right. I was watching him on YouTube, and he had this girl on. Her name is, I don't know, from Carlin Borisenko. So this is a woman, I think she's a psychologist or a psychiatrist, she's a doctor. And she was a super, super leftist liberal. She hated Trump. She believed that all Trump supporters were either supporting a racist or actually racist themselves. She thought they were deplorables, pieces of garbage, you know, racist scumbags. But apparently she started to question things. And she's a part of this knitting community, which me and Glenn Beck had no idea that there was an actual knitting community online, which is whatever. I mean, whatever blows your hair back. And there, it's apparent, according to her, it's a very hyper-political time for this community. And they're all liberals. They're all Democrat, leftist, social justice warriors. I'm not going to go too deep into this. What, you know, go type in Glenn Beck and look him up. Look up the show. It was pretty good. The clip I saw was like 7 or 8 minutes. And she was on the phone with him. She even looked like a leftist. You know, had the short hair shaved on the sides. She looked like an SJW. But apparently she started to question things. And apparently there's been a lot of bullying going on in the community about people who start to question things. You know, one guy was put in the hospital because he was getting bullied so bad just for saying, like, you know, could we just treat everybody the same? We're all humans, Trump or not. And she decided that she wanted to go to a rally because she was questioning too many things. She's like, let me just see what this is all about. All of her friends were saying, oh my God, don't go. You're going to physically get hurt. They were genuinely scared for her. And she's like, well, now I definitely have to go because I got to see what this is about. I got it. Now it's going to eat me up alive if I don't go. I'm going to be curious. I want to see if these people are right. So a former leftist confirmed my opinion on these people and my beliefs. She said, those SJW leftists are horrible, miserable people that want to make others miserable as well. I've been saying that for years, that they are unhappy people. They hate themselves. They're miserable, lonely losers that want to make everybody like that. Long story short, she goes to the rally. She's absolutely in shock on how wrong her peers were. She said everybody was so friendly. They were just regular people. They were so friendly, nice, awesome people totally opposite of what her friend said. And ultimately, she said, the Democrats don't have a prayer in this next election. With the Trump, just by her seeing one of Trump's rallies, she said, there's no way that any Democrat could beat this. There's no way. There is absolutely no way anybody could beat this momentum. And she even said, she's like, her words, she's like, I'm not a Trump supporter yet. I just know that the left is terrible. And I mean, you know, she said she's in the process of possibly, you know, she got exposed to seeing what Trump supporters and what Trump is really about. And I would think that she's probably going to end up voting for him. And, you know, because if we start making these people see for themselves how wrong they were and how, like, Trump supporters are nothing the way the media makes them out to be, the world, you know, the country is going to be in better condition. Because right now you have people that are believing disinformation from the media saying, you know, saying that these people are dangerous. They're a danger to society. They're all white supremacists, KKK members, neo-Nazis, horrible, violent people. Meanwhile, I don't see any violence at Trump rallies or at any rallies, any kind of protests, nothing. They're all calm, normal people. The gun rally, that was a perfect example. There wasn't even a freaking piece of anything on the floor. They cleaned up after themselves. There was no fights, no arrests. Meanwhile, you go to a women's march, and there's fights, there's screaming, they leave the place a mess. Who gets beat up for not, you know, for not believing in abortion? And it changed her perspective about Trump supporters, period. And I think that that's a great thing. And I was happy to see that. You know, I was really happy to see that, because these leftists are trying to change the fabric of our society, our culture. They hate our culture so much. That's why you have this rise in the denormalization of our culture. You know, what's good is bad, what's bad is good. Girls are boys are girls. There's no such thing as gender. They start calling straight people, which is like 98% of the world's population. They have a name for them, cisgendered. No, we're just people. You know? The nuclear family, there's a freaking war on the nuclear family. I've seen articles where they actually say that it's not good. And I heard somebody say that the community is responsible for raising your kid because the community knows better, which... my face was red after I heard that. That's pure communism right there. I've seen polygamy on the rise, the slut walk, which is... I mean, come on, really? You're going to be proud of being a slut? Give me a break. That's why these women are lonely, because no good men want a whore to be their wife. I wouldn't. Never. And then the lack of religion. Everybody is an atheist now. There's no structure left. And I think that it's, you know, I think it's a big problem. And this all ties back to the New World Order and that book that was written by Ralph Epperson. And in the very beginning of the book, it gives you a rundown of, and this was written in 1990, and he was for, you know, he was telling what it's going to be like if the world keeps going the way it's going. And almost every single thing that this guy Ralph said in his book is coming true. I'm going to go over it tomorrow. The first thing I got to remind myself, or Monday, the next normal show I have, either it's going to be tomorrow or Monday, I'm going to dissect that page in that book and explain why this guy was so on point. I really don't even have to do that much explaining, because the book just, like, it does it all for itself. I mean, he was right about so many things, and it's like not in a good way. So what I'm, all right, so off topic, I think I'm going to come to an end soon. I don't know how long it's been. But what I'm thinking about doing with this podcast, because it's still brand new, I think I'm on, what, my fourth episode. I think I'm going to come up with a schedule, maybe be off on Saturdays, do Monday through Friday or something like that, and then off on Saturdays, and then Sunday do like a short 30-minute one with no politics, all cool stuff, sports, you know, funny videos. I'm trying to make this interesting, because right now it's just about politics. It's probably really boring for you guys. It's not boring to me, because I could talk about this stuff all day. But I don't know what my listeners are like. I really don't have many yet, but I think it's going to build. But I got to keep people, you know, in tune. And if you have any advice, I have my Instagram page called Duke of the Right. Comment on one of my pictures or DM me and give me some advice or what you would like to hear. You know, I want all the feedback I could possibly get. You know, I want to make this into a movement. You know, there's a lot of movements, conservative movements going on, which is beautiful. But I want to be different. You know, I want to bring attention to that. There are millennial conservatives out there that really have a grasp on what's going on. And they're not brainwashed. And, you know, I want to make this into something good. I want to spread my opinion and spread the awareness on what is really happening in this country. So, yeah, I'm still trying to figure out what I'm going to do. I think the whole Sunday 30-minute special is a pretty decent idea. You know, I'm going to figure out how to get audio clips so I don't have to explain every little fart to everybody. You know, I could just have you listen to it. So I believe that's it. I'm not sure if I'm going to have something going on tomorrow or start off again Monday. But I hope you guys enjoy the weekend. There's going to be plenty of content coming. This is just the beginning. I'm going to keep this going, and I'm going to attack this like nobody's business. I'm going to flood the airwaves with my annoying voice, and we're going to have a good time. All right? That's about it. This is Duke on the Right signing off.